to cry. Father, I know that you have brought us here in this day, in this time, these ladies, this room, for your great purposes and your glory. And I just pray for deep connections this week. And Father, I pray that the words you have given us to speak, Father, will encourage these ladies, will give them hope. Father, that those of us who are more outspoken will reach out to ones that are quieter and build new friendships this weekend. Thank you so much for the words that you've given us today. I ask that you would calm my heart, slow my speech, and be an encouragement to these ladies. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So, and just for the record, I didn't give her the wrong direction. It was the back direction. That's all it was. It wasn't wrong. Okay, so what is your mission? I'm sorry. Okay, what is your mission as a follower of Christ? Why were you created? You ladies were intentionally created to love God and love others. And when people asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Just love your neighbor as yourself. And when you think about love, what comes to mind? Do you think that love is an emotion or a feeling? Do you think love is a choice? Do you think of love when you think of hospitality? Do you think hospitality is a spiritual gift? Or is hospitality a command to be practiced by all who follow Christ? 1 Peter 4:8 through 10 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So I need you to bear with me, because when I'm reading things and I don't think I'm quite getting it, I'd like to look up words in the dictionary, because then it helps me really understand. So I looked up above all, and it means superior in rank over all other factors. So Peter is telling us in these verses that loving one another is of utmost importance. And keep fervent. Fervent means having or displaying a passionate intensity. Well, that didn't really help. So I looked up synonyms for fervent. And there's a lot. Synonyms for fervent are sincere, heartfelt, enthusiastic, zealous, fanatical, wholehearted, avid, eager, dedicated, devout, hardcore. And this is how we are to love one another, fervently. When writing about this verse in 1 Peter, Charles Cranfield says, fervently gives perhaps a wrong nuance, for it suggests that the emphasis is on the warmth of emotion, whereas the Greek word it represents suggests rather the taut muscle of strenuous and sustained effort, as of an athlete. Well, athletes are fervent about their training. They are dedicated to pushing themselves to be the best. Athletes sacrifice to train. They deny themselves. They say no to what they want to do in order to do what they need to do to reach their goals. They accept the inconvenience of training. They want to be the best in their sport. They keep their focus on the finish line. There are no excuses when it comes to training. Athletes don't give up when training is hard. They don't quit when their muscles are sore. They practice fervently Hospitality requires practice. It requires training. It does not come easily for most of us. And Peter does not give us a pass on hospitality. He doesn't say, well, if your spiritual gift is hospitality, then yes, please practice it. No, Peter gives us a command, not a kind suggestion. He says, be hospitable. Fervently loving others requires practice. It requires training. In her book, Open Heart, Open Mind, Karen Maines writes that the definition for hospitable is wedged between the word hospice, which is a shelter, and hospital, which is a place of healing. And ultimately, this is what we do when we open our home in the spirit of true hospitality. We offer shelter, we offer healing. Hospitality is simply welcoming others in a warm and generous manner. It is others-focused. It is the practice of loving others. And when we are willing to open our hearts to others, we are offering them a safe place for them to share their hearts with us. Romans 12:13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We are to be looking for ways to love others. Do you pray that the Lord will open your eyes to see opportunity for you to love others? And do you allow yourself to be used by Christ to love others, even if it means that you might feel uncomfortable or silly? Sometimes the Lord asks me to reach out to someone that I don't know well or even at all, case in point, and it makes me a nervous because I am confident that the person will think that I am stalking or I'm crazy, which sometimes is debatable. But the Holy Spirit prompts me to send a message to someone. I know that the Lord is asking me to obey, and it's hard for me to ignore those because He won't let up. And I have to remember that it's about obedience. It's not about me. It's about Christ, ladies. It's about His glory and His love. It's about His command to love Him and love others. And just as a little, I thought about this last night, as a good example. Some of y'all don't remember Carrie Pendergrass, but her family was at Northway for a long time, and they left to go with them the church plants a few years ago. But our first year in North Carolina, Carrie was my mom's daughter. And I was convinced that she did not like me. She was my small group leader, and I was like, she might not like me at all, and I don't understand why. Because I'm trying really hard to be nice. But our mobs here ended, and they lived, until about a year ago, they lived within 3 minutes of us. And that second summer we were here, after mobs ended, she had her third child. And her first child was very close in age to my kids, and so one day I sent her an email. And I said, would you let me come and get Luke and bring him back to our house? And he can play with us and have fun. And we'll eat lunch. I'll wear him out. And then I'll bring him back home. And he can take a nap. So that way you can have time with the baby. You can rest and stuff. I, honest to God, did not think she would say yes. I really did. I mean, it was a sincere offer, but I didn't think she would say. And she was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. So for several weeks, it became a thing. I would go get Luke once or twice a week, bring him to my house, we play, it's in the back. And one day she said, he really likes hanging out with you, so maybe you're really fun. So can I come and hang out with you too? Sure. And so because of my obedience to the Lord in that situation, I now have one of the sweetest, most wonderful friends who will whip my behind into shape when I step out of line, and she does not do it lovingly, some of my other friends do. And she loves me, but I mean, she's real like, which I need sometimes. I need that. So this room, ladies, is filled. We all have two things in common. First, we traveled to Blue North this weekend seeking a deeper relationship with our Creator. And second, we all came to seek deeper relationships with the women in our church. This is excellent training ground for hospitality and loving others. If you see an unfamiliar face, introduce yourself. And I know for those of us who are introverted, small talk is difficult, but this is a great place to start practicing small talk. There are ladies here who are new to Northlake, or who are not even Northlakers, but came because a friend brought them. There are ladies here who are terrified to be in a room full of women at a retreat. In the last few weeks, as we've been at the Women's Ministry Table answering questions about the weekend, I would ask ladies, are you going to come to the retreat? Are you coming? It's going to be great. And then more than once, it wasn't just one lady, but probably a dozen or more, said, oh, I don't like going to retreat. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm not comfortable around a bunch of women. Or, this was my favorite, I am not going to sit around all weekend and listen to a bunch of ladies talk about marriage and parenting. And I was like, okay. Well, I'm not only married to parenting. So, but I want you to know that some of those ladies are here. And ladies, they are waiting to be proved right that this weekend was a bad idea. Love them. Make them feel welcome. Invite someone new to have lunch with you. Invite someone, I was going to say go hiking, but clearly, there's only a couple that can go do that. So, but invite someone to sit with you at breakfast or dinner, go shopping, seek out other ladies, be eager to love them. Some of God's greatest gifts have been given to me in the sweetest friends in the most unlikely packages. Some of you know Larissa Holland. Raise your hands. We went to college together, but we didn't know each other in college. So what are the odds that 20 years after college, Larissa Hall and I are living in Wake Forest, attending Northlake, in a soccer team? Crazy. So one day a couple of years ago, Larissa and I were talking about God's grace and his provision of friends. And she said, she's so sweet, I wish we had known each other then, because we would have these 20 years of memories and laughter and fun, and it would be so great. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, it would. That'd be so great. And she goes, well, I mean, wait, I would have never been friends with you though. Struggling to get through nursing school, our paths never crossed. And if you look at us now, you would have to say, you're right, I don't have much in common. I mean, Larissa's, she's so sweet. She's so humble, and she's so wise. And she's a rule follower. And she's all crunchy and natural. And I can follow the rules most of the time, but other times I really struggle. And my job, really, for her, is to make her laugh at the most inappropriate moments, which I'm sorry for those of you who are sitting in front of us this morning because it happened. Because during Jet's talk, this is why God put us together. Because Jet's talk, when Jet said, because a box of turtles might be calling, I thought, oh, she's not going to get that one. She thinks Jet has a box of turtles that she needs to feed, and they're calling. And so Larissa, I think she looked at me confused. I went, Katie, it's a box of candy. She's so literal, and I'm very sarcastic. So if you tell her a joke, I'm sorry, I'm making on a little tape here. If you were in a group of people and somebody tells a joke, that's so funny. She'll giggle when everybody else laughs, but you know she doesn't get it. We're breaking the rules. I'm sorry. I am a much better wife than I was 4 years ago before Larissa Holland came into my life. And Greg should send her flowers to thank her. But I'm so thankful for her. So ladies, please be open to friends who would appear to be very different from you, because the friends who I have learned the most from are the ones that are very different from me. And I have some of the most amazing friends of my life in this body, in this room. People that when we first came to North Wake, I would think, she's too cool to be friends with me. Oh, she's too smart to be friends with me. Or if she knew what I had done in my past, she would never be friends with me. But there is God's grace in placing us in this precious church body in North Lake. So how many of you in this room are seminary or married to a seminary student? Raise your hands. So did you know, ladies, that 49% of our church body is seminary? Yeah. Those of us who are not in seminary have been given a very unique opportunity to love people that the Lord plans to fling out far and wide to spread the gospel and love his people. We have a precious few years to share the love of Christ with these students who have committed to go wherever the Lord sends them. We should be loving them very well, showing them what it means to keep fervent in our love of others. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Michelle, these seminary students are only here for a few years, and I pour into them, and then they leave me. And you're right, they do. But that is the unique part about our church body. We have been given a privilege to love these people before God sends them out. I know that it's hard to invest in other people, and you might be left brokenhearted. But ladies, that is training. You know when you work out really hard and your muscles are so sore? I mean so sore that it hurts to sit down to pee. That is what we're supposed to be doing. You're hurting. Your muscles hurt because you've torn those muscle fibers, which allows your muscles to grow bigger. And it can be the same with your heart. Yes, your heart breaks when your friends move away, but your heart will grow bigger. And your ability to love will grow when you allow yourself to be led by Christ. Now, seminary students and wives of the seminary students, you have been given a unique opportunity. You have been given a church body eager for you to practice what you are learning in school. Where are you reaching out to serve? Where have you invested so that you can learn from workers who are older and wiser and in a different season of life than you? Maybe you're the first one to sign up for serving in the young toddlers. Maybe you find a small group that is not all seminary people. This is your training ground. And I tell my kids often, if you cannot love the people in this house well, how do you think you're going to love the people in the world well? To which I get blank stares. But this is where you practice loving others. This is where you practice serving in areas that might be outside your comfort zone. But there is a need, and you can love the church and practice hospitality at the same time. Now, hospitality does not require a 3,000 square foot house that looks like the spring catalog of Pottery Barn or Restoration Market. When we moved to Wake Forest almost 9 years ago, we bought a two-story home. And when we lived in Austin, we had a really sweet ranch that we loved. So our living room furniture in our old house went into the playroom of our new house. Well, our budget would only allow for either a fence around the backyard or new living room furniture. At the time, I had two toddlers who were used to being outside every day, and I was used to the freedom of a fenced backyard. So I chose the fence. For the first 10 months we lived here, we had nothing in the living room. You giggle. I'm serious. We had nothing. We had lights in the ceiling. That was it. So when we were asked to host a small group, we said, sure. But it was focused. Entertainment is to be consumed. Hospitality is to be savored. It's to be given away. Think about the last time you were invited to a friend's home. Were you inspecting her level of cleanliness? Were you offended by the dirty dishes in the sink or the Cheerios on the floor? Did she have a stack of papers on the counter that made you shudder? Of course not! You were there to see your friend, to share your heart with her, to laugh with her, cry with her, just to be with her. My house is rarely totally clean. We have two kids, two dogs, and the neighborhood kids are at my house every single day. There are often happy snacks on the table, dirty dishes in the sink. Dog hair is inescapable. I have a stack of papers on my counter that never disappears. I go through it and it seems to grow again, which is okay. But our mess will not stop me from welcoming friends into our home. Hospitality is about your heart and your willingness to open your heart to share with others what the Lord has given to you. And what if you want to be hospitable but you don't want to clean your house or prepare food? Well, my friends, the women's ministry has made it very easy. 3 times a year, we have See and Savor. You can call your friends or call your small group ladies and say, hey, let's go to See and Savor Friday night. Let's go meet for dinner beforehand, or let's go have coffee and dessert afterwards. Bam, you just did it. You practiced hospitality. And you didn't have to cook or clean a thing. Write a note to a friend. It does not have to be an essay. Just a few sentences, just to let her know that the Lord brought her to mind and you prayed for her. How fun is it to discover a sweet note among the bills and the junk mail? Or if writing a few sentences causes you panic, then just find a funny card. Sign your name to it. You did it. Practice hospitality. If you know a friend is traveling a rough road or having a bad day, drop by her house with a cupcake or a donut or coffee. Pick some flowers from the side of the road and leave them on her doorstep. Ask the Lord to show you ways to be thoughtful and love others. I promise He will open your eyes and open your heart to His will. Now, every week, sweet, amazing Karen Gray emails you the one. If you open that up and you look on the right side of that, there is a list of families almost every single week who would be blessed to have a meal prepared by you. Well, what if you don't cook? Deliver a pizza? Give them a gift card to a restaurant? What if you don't know the names on the list? Who cares? It's not about you. It's about Christ showing His love to others. Hospitality is bringing glory to God through your loving actions towards others. How many of you have heard of Link Up? Link Up is when events like Women's Day and the Women's Retreat are planned. It is a fabulous way to meet new friends and serve the ladies in our church body. It is a sweet way to be an integral part of making others feel welcomed and loved. There are so many details that go into tasks like this, to events like this. Decorations, gifts, food, registration, prayer. You can practice hospitality by being involved in the planning of these events. Hospitality can be meeting a friend at the park for a walk. And this is a great way to have a conversation because you are on a trail, so you will be unsymmetric and uninterrupted. And you get exercise. But it's way better with a friend. Because you'll walk further because you're talking. So, it's a great way to practice hospitality. Invite a friend over for tea. Just make a cup of tea. It's not a big deal. Years ago, when I was in Mops, we had a guest speaker on the topic of hospitality, and I'm not certain, but I think it was Dr. Aiken's wife. And she shared a story about a broken-hearted friend dropping by unexpectedly around lunchtime. And all she had for lunch was a can of tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. But she made it. That was all she had. But she served it like her china. And just that one little thing. And her friend came back to her, and they talked, and they had a great time, lunch. But her friend came back to her and told her it was the best tomato soup she'd ever had. late, and I was available to listen to her heart and cheek. There was nothing extraordinary about that lunch. She was just there. Well, what if you want friends to come over, but you're not confident enough to cook everything alone? It is completely acceptable to invite friends over and ask them to bring a snack or a dessert. Just light some candles, put out some fresh flowers, put on some great music. You don't have to do everything. Invite friends over for breakfast. You can make the coffee and set a pretty table, and your friends will bring the food. I promise they will. So back to 1 Peter. Peter says, no matter what, be eager and devoted to loving each other without complaint. Well, clearly, Peter had no idea who we would be called to love. We can be difficult. Sacrificing your time and resources to show love and serve others can be costly and is sometimes inconvenient. Alexander Strauch writes in his book, The Hospitality Commands, complaining does not promote love. It promotes disharmony, discouragement, and discontent. The opposite of complaining is gladness. Hospitality is a form of giving. He goes on to say that hospitality is love in action. It is the flesh and muscles on the bones of love. Giving oneself to the care of God's people. Hospitality is an act of obedience to the Lord who has blessed you tremendously. The Lord always blesses obedience. Caring for God's people, loving the people in your church body, it is what you were created to do. Yes, sometimes it is hard, and sometimes it is convenient. As I was preparing for the retreat, the Lord kept bringing to mind two ladies who were in my circles, but with whom I have great difficulty loving. One of these women will not acknowledge me at all. She will not be friends with me. She usually ignores invitations to come to our home. And I admit, it really hurts my feelings. And I have really had to struggle with my mission to love her. And sometimes I want to give up. Sometimes I want to show up on her doorstep and just scream, why won't you be friends with me? I would not put that with cement in her mind that I am as crazy as she was. But I'm confident that the Lord put this woman in my line of sight to teach me perseverance in loving others. This situation, ladies, has revealed sin in my heart like no other. Matthew 5, Jesus tells us that we are to love our enemies. And he says, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? There will be times that love is difficult and frustrating, but ladies, keep your eyes on the finish line. We are athletes in training in hospitality and loving others. The more we train, the better we will become. So Peter goes on in verse 8 to say that love covers a multitude of sins. I read this quote on Facebook recently, and I have no idea who offered it, but I was like, whoa, that's so good. And it says, the truth is that the more intimately you know someone, the more clearly you will see their flaws. That's just the way it is. This is why marriages fail, why friendships don't last. You may think you love someone until you see the way they act when they are out of money, or under pressure, or hungry. Love is something different. Love is choosing to serve someone and be with someone in spite of their filthy heart. Love is patient and kind. Love is deliberate. Love is hard. Love is pain and sacrifice. Love is seeing the darkness in another person and denying the impulse to jump ship. Ladies, please do not allow fear of seeing someone's filthy heart rob you of the opportunity to be obedient to the Lord. And do not allow fear of someone seeing your filthy heart rob you of the sweet gift of friendship and fellowship. Hospitality and love require you to be vulnerable, to lay your heart open for others to see. You will likely get hurt at some point because you are in a church body of sinners. And if you have not been offended by someone in this room, then you have either not been here long enough, or you have not had a conversation with me. Hospitality and love others.